Northern Colorado never stops. Neither do we. This is NoCo Now, presented by the Chainine Agencies. Here's Tanner Schwint.
Well, we've made it to Friday, another week in 2020 in the books. I am Tanner Schwint. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studio. We are excited to be with you here on this Friday. Of course, a lot to get to. Last night was the last presidential debate. We saw a completely different style of debate from both men, and probably one that I think a lot of people expected the first debate to go more like. But we'll take some of the key clips and play those back for you, hopefully here in the second segment. We'll dive into what it all means in the grand scheme of things, too. I mean, does it even matter at this point? I think it does still. A lot of people don't. I'll explain later on as well. Miles Blumhart of the Colorado, and he's a senior reporter for the Colorado, and will join us, give an update on the fires. As I set the interview up with him, he was just coming back down the mountain as he went up to talk with firefighters who are currently fighting the Cameron Peak fire. So we'll talk with Miles Blumhart about that coming up about 4:35. And, you know, the reason I wanted to bring him on, too, he makes a great point, one that we're hearing Matt Makins made as well. This snow that we're about to get, Fort Collins and the mountain areas yesterday did get some snow, so that's good news. But between that snow and the upcoming snow, still not looking like it's going to be enough to completely put this fire out. Will it give some of these firefighters a breath? Will it be able to give them some time to take a breath? Yes, it will, which is very important, too, so that they can continue to combat and get this thing under control. Now, the conditions today have not been as severe as what we've seen in a couple, you know, on Wednesday and Thursday as well. People still getting evacuated, but the fire has halted up along the crest of the mountain that goes into Estes. It's kind of turned back on itself, which was really encouraging news, and hopefully it continues to be there. You know, we've got the two largest wildfires in Colorado history burning within 10 miles of each other. If those two fires come together, it is going to be incredibly scary. And if they do, to my knowledge, and then we'll talk with Miles Blumhart about this a little bit more, but to my knowledge, if those two fires come together, they will have to go through Estes Park, which is a terrifying proposition for a lot of people. Want to be a part of the conversation today? We encourage you to. Please call in 970-353-1310, 970-353-1310. If you've been affected by this fire, if you've had to be evacuated, if you've had somebody who has brought their livestock or their animals to you, then I want to hear from you. Please call in 970-353-1310. Text that KFK text line at 31996, 31996, and we'll get you on there. Any new texters, all you have to do is text KFKA to that number. We'll get you up and rolling. Just a couple of news stories to get to today. This is a horrific one, of course. There's been a Greeley man who's arrested on suspicion of 66 counts of sexual exploitation of a child. This is from Trevor Reed out of the Greeley Tribune. Again, Greeley police received a referral in June from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and Internet Crimes Against Children that started this investigation. And they went through, they continued to push, and they found 52-year-old rural Dune Dalphin Hartzell. As a result of this investigation, they issued a no-bond arrest warrant for him. The warrant included, bear with me here because it's a lot, 10 counts of Class 3 felony charges for distribution of child exploitation material, 46 counts of Class 4 felony charges for possession of child exploitation video or more than 20 different items qualifying as sexually exploitive material, and 10 counts of Class 5 felony charges for possession of child exploitation material as well. Just absolutely disgusting. And the detectives contacted Hartzell on Wednesday at his home. He's currently been booked into the Weld County Jail and remains there without bond. His next court case, or his court appearance is scheduled for 8:30 on Monday morning. Just, again, it's absolutely disgusting. And this is, I mean, this was something that took a while for investigators, detectives to get caught up to, was the internet, because the internet's got a lot of great usage, right? But it's also got ways that for bad people, for disgusting human beings like this man, to reach out and get into stuff that exploit children. And it took him a while, but now you see more of these arrests being made, and they're able to track back these IP addresses, and they're able to find things a little bit quicker. But the internet and all the different ways, we've had this conversation. People know and people can find what you're doing on the internet. If it doesn't matter if you go into private mode, it doesn't matter if you do any of that. They will find it. And a lot of people have this notion that they cover up their camera on their laptop or on their phone. Well, not their phone, but a lot of times you see a lot of people with a piece of tape over the camera on their laptop. I mean, I get it, I guess. Like, but this is where I look at it and I'm like, I'm a boring enough dude. No one's going to be just sitting here watching me. Like, I don't use my laptop that often. I use my phone a ton. I don't buy into that there's an FBI agent sitting watching everybody. Yeah, do I think that there's code words and stuff like that they're finding? Yes, and that's a good thing. I don't think that that's a bad thing at all, because it brings, I've used the word disgusting a lot, but disgusting human beings like this brings them to justice. Another story, we're going to keep it short here, because obviously the big stories have been the fires, and we're going to talk all about those with Miles Blumhart. But I did want to mention this, a great friend of the station, United Way of Weld County, they are holding a virtual 5K run/walk that's coming up October 24th through the 31st. See, that's what I'm talking about. I can do a 5K over a span of a week. I don't know about all that at once. But it's Steps for Stability. It can be run or walked at their own pace. The purpose of the 5K is to support individuals and families who are experiencing housing instability in Weld County. The 5K race also seeks to ensure every family can meet their basic needs for attaining and maintaining stable housing. Teams of four are encouraged to register. It's a cost of $20 per person, or individuals at $35 per person can register as well. It's the United Way of Weld County Weld Way Home program. This article coming from Bobby Fernandez in the Greeley Tribune. One last story here that I want to talk about. This is of personal interest to me as well. I'm a big UFC fan, and we have a UNC alum that is going to be fighting for a title in the UFC tomorrow afternoon. Justin Gaethje will be taking on Khabib. I don't even want to try and try and say Khabib is what he's called, because a lot of people can't say it. But he is the reigning champion. Justin Gaethje holds the title right now, the interim title, and will be fighting for the full-on undisputed champion tomorrow in the lightweight championship. It's on pay-per-view. It's on ESPN Plus. You can check it out there, but they will be doing battle. And Justin Gaethje, he is just one of the kind. He's from Arizona, but he, of course, like I said, he is a UNC alumni, and we're all going to be pulling for him and cheering him on as he takes on Khabib. Khabib, by the way, has never lost, so this would be a new thing for Khabib, and it'd be an incredible thing for Northern Colorado if Justin Gaethje is able to pull this off. That's news for Northern Colorado. Big thanks to Proactive Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine. Hopefully Justin Gaethje won't be needing physical therapy, and Khabib will tomorrow after the fight. But if you're needing physical therapy, if you've had that surgery that you're trying to bounce back from, now's the time to go to either the Eaton or the Greeley branch for Proactive Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine, because they have implemented blood flow restriction therapy. It decreases the amount of loss you have. Surgery, it's altering your body. And sometimes when you alter a body, all the times when you alter a body, it's tough to come back from. But what blood flow restriction therapy does, definitely slows this down, and they have perfected it. Let's say that. It's more online at proactivecolorado.com. Got a text here coming in on the text line from Dan here. Tomorrow is going to be another rough day, high winds, and he sent in a picture of his buddy's house in north of Granby. It is. It's terrifying right now, and it's something that there's no words for it. And the loss that is coming with this is just continuing to mount, and it's terrible. It is terrible, but hopefully that snow can at least give firefighters a breath. But I know that there's some donation stuff going on for people affected by this fire, and we will definitely come back and give you more information on that. We'll do that on the other side, as well as get to the last presidential debate. We'll play some of the key moments that I thought came from the debate on the other side. It's NOCO Now, presented by the J9 Agencies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
NOCO Now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in. NOCO Now and the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. I am Tanner Schwint. We've got a busy day ahead of us still here. Miles Blumhart from the Fort Collins, Colorado, will join us to talk about these Colorado fires. I told you a little bit about how you could donate and how you could help. Let me get that pulled up here. They have multiple different ways, but money is always great. I mean, they've got the 2020 Fires Relief Fund in Boulder County and Grand County. There's the Grand County Wildfire Emergency Fund. Larimer County, there's the Cameron Peak Fire Response Fund. The American Red Cross of Northern Colorado, who we were lucky enough to work with. They've got money coming in as well. The Larimer County Humane Society, the American Red Cross. I mean, it's kind of your standard ones that are taking donations right now, and they will get them distributed to the right areas. So that is the Cameron Peak Fire and the East Troublesome Fire as well. So I wanted to talk about the debate last night, of course, the last and final debate. And this is where I may disagree with a lot of other people. I know a lot of people say that this thing is over already. Everybody has already decided their votes, but I'm not so sure about that, because people who were locked in, I would assume that they're probably pretty close to 50-50. These swing voters are still going to be there. Now, I know you have some people, these political heads, depending on what outlet you listen to, say, well, Biden's going to win in a landslide. Well, Trump's going to win in a landslide. Maybe. That could be the case. But you expect that. So why not dive in and let's look at the matters that they discussed last night that really do take precedent. I believe we got the oil clip coming up first. This was Donald Trump and Joe Biden from last night's debate discussing the future of the oil and gas industry.
I have one final question.
Would he close down the oil industry?
It falls.
Would you close down the oil industry?
By the way, I would transition from the oil industry, yes.
Oh,
I would transition. It is a big statement.
That's a big
statement. Because I would stop.
Why would you do that?
Because the oil industry pollutes significantly.
Oh, I see.
And here's the deal. But
that's
you can't
a big statement.
That. Well, if you let me finish the statement, because it has to be replaced by renewable energy over time. Over time. And I'd stop giving to the oil industry, I'd stop giving them federal subsidies. He won't give federal subsidies to solar and wind.
Yeah.
Why are we giving it to oil industry?
We actually do give it to solar and wind.
We
and
have
that's
one
maybe
final
the biggest
question.
Statement in terms of business. That's the biggest statement.
Okay.
Because basically what he's saying
question,
is he is
Mr.
going
President?
To destroy the oil industry.
Okay.
Will you remember that, Texas? Will you
okay.
remember that, Pennsylvania, Oklahoma?
Vice President Biden, let me give you 10 seconds to respond,
Ohio.
And then I have to get to the final question. Vice President Biden.
He takes everything out of context, but the point is, look, we have to move toward a net zero emissions. The first place to do that by the year 2035 is in energy okay. production. By 2050, totally.
So this is one of those instances, and this is kind of what we thought we would see from Donald Trump. And the first one is that he would pick his spots maybe a little bit better about where he wanted to push, because he pushed Joe Biden into saying exactly what Donald Trump wanted him to say. He wanted him to say something negative about the oil and gas industry. And he did just that. And so that's where you can see where President Trump being a little pushy can get him somewhere. Because Joe Biden said, and look, this is something that Joe Biden time and time again has said, I haven't said that I'm going to get rid of the oil industry. I haven't said this. I haven't said the same thing. I haven't said I'm getting rid of the oil industry. And he told last night, he told President Trump, roll the tape then. Well, guess what came out this morning? It was an ad for President Trump of all the times Joe Biden said that he was going to do away with the oil industry. So that backfired, I thought, for him. And saying that he took it out of context, I didn't see that. If I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. I felt like President Trump went exactly where Joe Biden said. Joe Biden said that he is going to phase out the oil and gas industry, that we have to go to renewable energy. And renewable energy sounds great in practice, right? Absolutely. Do we need to find ways to be better about this? Yes. But when you take into account all of the different processes that go into becoming just renewable energy efficient, there's a lot of pollution that goes into that. And some argue that it's more than just using natural oil and gas. So that was the first topic that they had. Do we have the COVID clip here? Okay, let's talk about this. This is what these two gentlemen had to say about COVID-19 last night.
More and more people are getting better. We have a problem that's a worldwide problem. This is a worldwide problem. But I've been congratulated by the heads of many countries on what we've been able to do. It will go away, and as I say, we're rounding the turn, we're rounding the corner. It's going away.
Anyone who's responsible for that many deaths should not remain as president of the United States of America. What I would do is make sure we have everyone encouraged to wear a mask all the time. I would make sure we move in the direction of rapid testing, investing in rapid testing. I would make sure that we set up national standards as to how to open up schools and open up businesses so they can be safe and give them the wherewithal, the financial resources to be able to do that. And so, folks, I will take care of this. I will end this. I will make sure we have a plan.
So again, I think this is where, and obviously you can probably pick apart some of the things that Donald Trump has done with COVID-19, right? Some of the statements that he said about this is going to go away. That hasn't been true yet. It will. And that's the salesman in him, right? It will go away. But Joe Biden there talking about, well, I want a national policy for everybody to open up schools, this and this. Well, not all schools are the same. Kersey, Colorado school is a heck of a lot different than almost every other school you can find in New York. So is this the best way to handle it? I say no. You talk about a national plan for opening these different things up, doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But there he again says, we're going to end this. We're going to have a plan. Well, how? Because aren't we already rapid testing? Isn't this why we're seeing so many, you know, cases coming back? Part of the reason that we're seeing higher case numbers is because we're testing a lot more. Rapid testing is a big part of it. So I would have liked to see Joe Biden answer that question a little bit more. Now with President Trump, when he talks about we've got a vaccine right around the corner, what is it? Who's making it? Why should it be safe? Like he was very, very generic there as well. So I would have liked to see both of those answered by both of the candidates a little bit better. Let's talk about race. That was another issue that came up, and this is just a short clip, but I thought it kind of an interesting and powerful one. Let's play it.
More and more people are getting better. We have a problem that's a worldwide problem. This is a worldwide problem, but I've been congratulating.
A little mixed up there. That was the start of the COVID clip there. So if we don't have the race one, that's all good. What President Trump came out and said in his classic manner was, look, I'm the least racist person in this building. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. And this is where it got confusing. This is why I wanted to play this clip. And we'll work and find that. And I'll probably play it on Monday when we come back. But Joe Biden says Abraham Lincoln over here is the most racist president we've had in the modern era. What? What the hell does that mean? You just called President Trump Abraham Lincoln. I don't know if you know what Abraham Lincoln did as president, but you might want to check it out, Joe. Was it a mistake? Maybe. But why I think that President Trump handled himself much better is that he pushed in the right areas, and then he gave, metaphorically speaking, he gave enough rope for Joe Biden to hang himself. That's what he did. And there was a couple moments that he did that. They had a final closing sales pitch almost to the voters as to why they should both be president. Let's play that one for you.
Success is going to bring us together. We are on the road to success, but I'm cutting taxes and he wants to raise everybody's taxes and he wants to put new regulations on everything. He will kill it. If he gets in, you will have a depression, the likes of which you've never seen. Your 401ks will go to hell and it'll be a very, very sad day for this country.
As I said at the beginning, what is on the ballot here is the character of this country. Decency, honor, respect, treating people with dignity, making sure that everyone has an even chance. And I'm going to make sure you get that. You haven't been getting it the last 4 years.
So that's about par for the course, correct? That is what these two men are going to be built on. Donald Trump, President Trump's the rough, tough, we're going to find success no matter what it takes. Here's what we're doing. Yeah, this is my plan. Boom. That's exactly what he said there. And he pointed to his economic success. And I will tell you that if anybody who says that the economy right now is because of President Trump, they don't know anything about economics. And I try and not wade into this too much, but I'm going to make a strong statement here because this economy, locally, nationally, wherever you want to go, was booming. And to say that because we get a pandemic that we haven't seen in 100 years, it's the current president's fault? Come on. Now, you can argue and say, well, he didn't handle it, you know, the right way, and now that's why it's slowed down. This side we had to have the lockdown. The economy has bounced back faster than most people thought it would. The economy, the unemployment rate is lower than what people projected it to be. These are all things that President Trump points to. Now, at the end, you hear Joe Biden come back and do the same thing that you knew he was going to do. He is the, for lack of a better term, he's the softer choice. He's easier to take for some people. He's an easier pill to swallow because he's not going to ruffle a bunch of feathers. If you're not really paying attention to what he's saying, Joe Biden's just another old dude talking. They're both old men, but he's just another old dude talking. He's a guy that's been in politics for way too long. And that's what you expected to see at the end. Their closing sales pitch surprised no one. Now, the question remains, how many people are there who are left undecided? And a lot of the talking heads are saying that they might as well have just voted already. We might as well have just, it's over. One way or the other, they're saying it. I'm not so sure. I'm really not, because I have to believe that there are enough men and women who gathered everything, watched every debate, really dug in, did their due diligence as a responsible American citizen, and is going to cast that ballot on November 3rd. Is that right? Is that wishful thinking? Maybe. But I have to believe it. Because if people are just going out there and voting just because of what this person said or what this person said, not talking about like the candidates, obviously pay attention to what the candidates say. But if you're listening to celebrities, if you're listening to athletes, if you're listening to, you know, extremists on either side, stop it. Get to the facts. I had a question earlier today posed to me. How do you fact check things? Well, Snopes is always good. But the best way to fact check things is to read the opposing side. It is to gather more than just one statement. It's to gather a lot of statements and then put together and say, okay, that's corresponding here. And it sounds like a lot of work. people, we need a lot of work because we can't mess this thing up. So the final debate last night, that election coming up. Quick thanks to the Tavern at St. Michael Square. I know that the weather's going to get a little cold here. Today, they've got the half Reuben and clam chowder special going on. It's the perfect day for it. It's about to get really chilly. It's the end of the week. Go have an adult beverage. Relax. Let's get this weekend ready to go. Let's hope for a great weekend of weather. This is the first time I think all Coloradans are cheering for snow. We'll talk to Miles Bloomhart, a senior reporter over at the Coloradoan, when we come back about those fires. Don't go anywhere. It's NOCO Now, presented by the J9 Agencies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
.440 the time on a Friday afternoon. Thanks for joining us here on NOCO Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. We got some much-needed weather last night, but is it going to be enough, and where does everything stand right now? And let's bring in senior reporter for the Fort Collins, Colorado, Miles Bloomhart, to discuss. Miles, I know you were just up there talking to some of these firefighters. What's the state of the fire as of today?
Actually, pretty good news in most of the area, especially in the Cameron Peak fire. They have made some pretty good headway. They had pretty good weather today, and they had actually a little bit of snow on some of the fire area, so that fire is looking pretty good. But the East Troublesome, the report is that they, because of the terrain that in that where the fire came into Rocky Mountain National Park towards Estes Park, the terrain in there, they can't get to it to fight it directly. So right now they're looking at strategies, really to put up a defensive line between Estes Park and the fire, and they're looking at those lines that they're going to try and establish in there. And of course, they're hoping for in that area to get, you know, anywhere from 6 inches to a foot of snow. That would be Saturday evening into Sunday. However, there is a red flag warning for the fire area until 7 p.m. tomorrow. So, good and bad news, but it looks like they're sitting a little bit better than they were.
That's really encouraging to hear, Miles. Let's stay on that Estes Park and fire management side. There's a lot that goes into this, into planning how to, you know, fight this fire. And I know there's resources coming from all over the nation, for that matter. What are they expecting now? Do they think that with this, with that fire kind of getting hung up on that ridge, did it give them enough time to kind of get a protective barrier around Estes?
They have the resources. What they don't have working for them is the terrain, because they can't get in there. So they can't directly fight the fire, but I think they're hopeful that the incoming snowstorm will help them out there. It's just too inaccessible to get anything on there on a direct line. So really what they have to do is they really have to wait to see if the fire is going to come to them. So as far as resources, I think they have enough people. Whether the weather will cooperate is another thing. They're gonna have to have some help, you know, from the weather, I think, for them to be more assured that they can protect Estes Park.
So this is probably just a standard question that I don't know, but for our listeners out there, is there just one fire marshal who is running this operation, or how do they divide it up? Obviously, I know they're divided between the two fires, but in terms of fighting one fire at a time, is there one guy that makes all these calls?
No, because there's the part of the East Troublesome fire that came over the divide is now being managed by the Cameron Peak fire people.
Okay.
They are in coordination with the people who are in command of the East Troublesome fire. But they are getting together and trying to plan a strategy between the two to see how best to keep that fire away from Estes Park.
We're talking with Miles Blumhardt, the senior reporter for the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Miles, I may need you to correct me here, but these fires at last check were about 10 miles apart. If they were to merge, would that be at about the point of Estes Park?
You know, it really kind of depends on the wind direction and the drainages. It does appear that they would converge somewhere, you know, in that area. Exactly where, I'm not sure. And again, how the fire goes is directly is directed by wind direction and how those drainages lie. That's kind of the big key. But where that convergence would be, I'm not really sure. I know they're not. I think their thinking is they don't believe that is going to happen.
That's really encouraging, too.
Yeah, but as we've seen with this fire, it has acted abnormally, and who knows, it may continue to do that.
Well, and that East Troublesome fire, I know, just exploded in a hurry. Now, this Cameron Peak fire, let's shift our attention over there. The Cameron Peak fire has just been a roller coaster. At first, it was up in an area that they were almost okay with it burning up there because it was so, hard to get to, almost impossible to get to. It was an older part of the forest, and it needed some of that, you know, cleaning up. But then the changing point on that was about Labor Day weekend. You've been following this from the very beginning. Does that sound about right?
Yeah. So what happened is initially they tried a kind of a newer strategy that a lot of fire command centers are using, and that is, when you have an inaccessible fire, they try to create a defensive perimeter, wide perimeter around the fire, and then work from there on into direct line, directly on the fire line. However, what's happened with the Cameron Peak fire is we've had these major wind events that has pushed the fire, just like East Troublesome, has pushed the fire well beyond their capability to control it. And that's happened, I think about three times, actually. So I think that's always in the back of their mind now is they worry about the weather.
Well, and they go on these runs, right, because of that wind and because of that weather. Miles, you said it was a red flag warning until tomorrow about 7 o'clock. Are they anticipating a run? And if so, in what direction?
Well, those winds are westerly, as most of them are, you know, and have been. And the most destructive ones have been from the west or northwest because, you know, that always pushes it to, you know, before it was Red Feather Lakes, Crystal Lakes, and Glacier View. And that area is pretty good now. Then it the same thing happened when it pushed into the CSU Mountain campus and beyond that. And then it happened again when we had the big run, you know, that brought the fire down, you know, closer to, you know, Masonville and Glen Haven and that area. They've shored up a lot of that area. So I think they're pretty confident that they can hold anything from doing any damage in those areas.
What have the last stats been that you've seen about damage, number of houses and buildings lost and everything along that way?
Well, the last one was in the latest run was 190 structures. However, I'm hearing from lots of different people, including firefighters who have seen the damage, that it's going to be more than that, potentially significantly more than that.
Wow.
I called the Larimer County Sheriff's Office this morning, and they're still working through the assessments. As you can imagine, with that big of acreage, that big of run, and how many homes were in there, that it's going to take them a while to, you know, first contact those people who have lost their homes. So that's a long process, but I believe that it will probably run larger than 190, which would bring, I think, the total structure damage probably well over 300, including, I'm guessing, more than 100 homes, because we're already close to that.
Is that just the Cameron Peak fire, Miles, or is that both?
That's just the Cameron Peak.
Wow.
Rocky Mountain National Park said that they had minimal damage to their recreational sites on the western side of the park. And, of course, there's no homes in there. So right now, the damage in the park from the East Troublesome seems to be pretty minimal, other than, you know, just large acres of land burned. And so that in itself is a problem because of, with the watersheds. And
right.
Then if we get, rains and snow on it.
Miles Blumhardt, senior reporter for the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Miles, obviously, we've never seen anything like this. And now we've got the two largest wildfires in Colorado history burning. You've been up close and personal on the Cameron Peak fire since day one. Kind of walk us through your experience and what that's been like for you covering this fire.
Well, I think, as exhausting as it probably is, for those who are reporting on it, it's extremely more exhausting for the firefighters. I was just up Risk Canyon talking to the some of the volunteer firefighters up there, and they're exhausted. Their resources are exhausted. They are getting a lot of donations, which has been really helpful. But from the federal level, all the way down to these local volunteer fire departments, it's just been exhausting. I think we're into day 72, which is basically unprecedented. Around here, the High Park fire was much shorter than that. I think it was like a couple months, and really was only extreme for a couple weeks. But yeah, way into a different stratosphere here with this fire, not only in the runs and intensity, but the length of it.
Miles, we appreciate all the information, man. What are you working on? Obviously, I would imagine this fire, but what do you got coming up for us?
Well, I visited with these volunteer fire departments, these personnel, including one volunteer firefighter who actually lost his home in the Crystal Mountain area. And so I'm working on a story on that, and then just the personal experiences of these volunteer firefighters who have been on the line and have seen the massive destruction that has happened from this fire. It's very emotional talking to them, and they get very emotional about it because they would like to save every home, but unfortunately that's just not possible.
Yeah, well, we really do appreciate all of the hard work you've been doing for, like you said, 72 days on this. Hopefully it doesn't last much longer, but if it does, Miles, we know you're going to be there. Thank you so much for your coverage, and thanks for joining us today.
I appreciate it. You take care.
Thanks. That's Miles Blumhardt, senior reporter for the Fort Collins, Colorado. And just an insane amount of coverage that he's been going into. And I couldn't imagine this is just insane. I watched a video of some fire crew leaving Wichita to come and help. And it said en route to Colorado. And I almost get, halfway choked up because these guys are putting their lives on hold to come and help and just give these firefighters who are right there in it, just give them a breath and try and give them a break. And it's incredible to watch how people have rallied around it. But you just hope that this snow can pause the game just long enough for these firefighters to really get a hold of it. 4:52. Now let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side, get the headline that caught my eye, and we'll wrap up this edition of NOCO Now, presented by the J9 Agencies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Well, on top of those NFL games that you can find, make sure you tune in tonight. The Proactive Physical Therapy pregame show starting at 6:30. Clark Johnson, the voice of Preps Radio, and myself, we will have the call between the Loveland Indians taking on the Greeley West Spartans tonight, 7 o'clock kickoff there. And we are excited for that to get us rolling here. Quick schedule change. If you've been looking for the game tomorrow, we will not have a high school game tomorrow. Unfortunately, not any availability inside of a press box. Don't know what the weather is going to be tomorrow, so no high school game tomorrow, unfortunately, but make sure you tune in tonight. It's going to be a good one. Good week this week. Long week for sure. Last presidential debates out of the way. Now, next week, we've got 1 week to get through this vote, 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 this political garbage. We've got 1 week. That's all we got to do. Let's buckle down and do it. Everybody have a great weekend. For Ryan Kelly, I'm Tanner Schwint, and I've got another minute to talk because I messed up the clock already. See, Ryan? It's Friday. See where my mind is? Do you see where my mind is? I had you scared. I apologize about that. Look at that. I thought I was out already. How many times does that happen? It's Friday. Zero times? It's a Friday afternoon. What I was saying was that we have one more week, apparently, and I'm ready to get to that week and tackle it. But keep in mind, too, November 3rd, election night, join Gail Fallon of Mornings with Gail and myself. We'll have a three-hour election special coming up on Tuesday, November 3rd. Very excited about that coming your way as well. Now, am I good now? Okay. All right, Ryan. For Ryan Kelly, I'm Tanner Schwint. We've got more high school athletics coverage coming up. Again, Loveland Indians taking on the Greeley West Spartans tonight, 6:30 pregame. It's the whole show until then. Until Monday, we'll talk with Chris Vanderveen. Hey, COVID-19 numbers looked a little better today, by the way. That'll do it for us. We'll talk on Monday. NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.